Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 this morning for the message. I'd like to do a character study here today for our inspiration. As I looked at the Sunday school lesson this morning at home, I realized the preacher should pay attention to some of that because some overlap with that, but I trust we can be encouraged by this example that we find here in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We have the Word of God speaking to us about a young man, and so this message is directly for young men, but obviously the Word of God is for us all, and so we're here to learn what we can from this example of King Josiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. How many 8-year-old children are here today? Can you raise your hand very high? Anybody that's 8? We got Sierra's 8. Somebody else is 8 here today? It's one person. All right. Well, that's about the age this boy was when he became a king. Sometimes we read over this and we sort of don't really think about how old this king was, but if you can imagine a king that was 8 years old, I'm not sure about that. But let's read on. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Josiah is a remarkable boy. At 8 years old, he's doing what's right. He's following after the Lord. He's walking in the ways of David his father. What propelled him in that walk? What made him do that? Eight-year-old boy, a nine-year-old boy, 10-year-old, 11, for in the eighth year of his reign, so now he is what? He started when he was 8, so he's reigning 8 years, so he's 16. And the Bible says, while he was yet young. Some other versions say, while he was yet a boy, God considered this young man to be a boy yet. He was 16, and he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, so he's now, 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images, and he break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces. He made dust of them. He strode upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And he did so. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. So, 20-year-old young man, he was doing some really amazing things for God at 20 years old. He was busy. He was a busy young man. He had a mission. He had a vision, had something he wanted to accomplish. Nothing was going to deter him or stop him. And he was very thorough. Verse 8, now in the 18th year of his reign, so what, he is now 26 years old, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. 26 years old, and he is going to do some extensive work. He had already cleansed the land. He purged the land and the house, it says. But he wasn't done yet. He needed to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim and of all the remnant of Israel and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem, and they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and to amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed, and the men did work faithfully. He was still busy for the Lord, and he had raised money to repair the house of God. And the money was brought in, given to the workmen, and they were busy working at repairing the house of the Lord, and they did it faithfully. Not only as a young boy at 8 years old was he seeking after the Lord, but he was still on that mission at 26 years old, following the Lord and being involved in kingdom work. And he was very young, 26 years old. So they're in there in the house of the Lord, and they're cleaning this place up. Just imagine, this thing's been sitting empty for years, deteriorating, going to pieces. It's probably piles of stuff sitting everywhere. It's probably starting, stuff's falling down. There's dust and there's dirt. There's closets and bookshelves that are full of things. And they're cleaning things up, sorting things out. And as they were doing that, verse 14, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Maybe I'm reading something into this that's not here, but it appears like Josiah, up to this time, was seeking after the God of David without the word of the Lord. How many Bibles do we have today? How many Bibles do you have? How many resources do you have at your fingertips? Do I have any excuse for not following after the Lord God of David? Josiah is quite a character for us. Doesn't leave us men with a lot of excuses. Here was a man who was seemingly on fire for the Lord. It wasn't until he was 26 years old that he found the book of the law. And he had the word of God in his hands. And it came to pass, verse 19, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. We don't tear our clothes. But they did in that culture. It was a sign of great grief and extreme emotion, sorrow. That's what happened to this king when he heard the words of this book. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Hahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abandon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ahasai, a servant of the king, saying, go, inquire the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in the book. Josiah heard these words and he said, we need a message from the Lord. Can you go search out a prophet? We need a prophet. Can you find a prophet? Well, they found a prophetess. Verse 22, and Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me. Now think about this. Here is Josiah. From the age of 8, he has been seeking after the God of David. He has been that nation seemed like he was trying to revive that nation. He was casting down the idols, just destroying all the wickedness that was about. He was restoring, rebuilding the house of God. But listen to the message that the Lord has for him. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. What a message is this? I thought really good things were going on in this land, in this country, among these people. Not according to God's eyes. Verse 26, and as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Now listen, especially young men, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Josiah was to be spared, but the judgment was still going to fall. Josiah was going to be gathered to his fathers in peace, but the wrath of God was going to still be poured out upon Josiah's countrymen. Why would God pronounce utter judgment upon this group of people who seem to have been following after Josiah and have been, seems like they were changing their ways? And Zephaniah was a prophet during the reign of Josiah. And so this is what Zephaniah says about these people and about the Lord. God says, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the name of the Chemarims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither shall their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. That was what the prophet was speaking to these people during Josiah's reign. What made these people so wicked? Zephaniah says it's because they have turned back from the Lord, and they have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. That was their sin. Is that great? In the eyes of God, that's very great. And so we have a young man in a setting way before us, but in some ways it's a lot like our setting here today. Here was a young man in the midst of wicked people, people who were under the wrath of God, but yet he was choosing to be different. He was choosing to go against the flow. And so are you different from the other young men of this world? Only those men, only those ladies who are going another direction are the ones who will be saved from the wrath that God is going to pour out in judgment. And you may not be that bad of a person, you just don't inquire of the Lord. You just don't seek after him. Josiah is just a very remarkable young man. And the fact that he doesn't seem to be surrounded by a bunch of good people. Seems like God was going to destroy so many of the people that were about him. And so this morning, if we just live our lives and do our own thing and just let God fade from the picture and just don't think much about him and we don't take much time for him and we don't really concern ourselves with how we should live and what his word says, that's being wicked. That is being wicked and will bring the judgment of God upon us. Here is Josiah. He is a young man at 8 years old going against the majority that are around him. It's easy to jump into a river and to flow with the current. That's not hard to do that. And this world is like a river. It's like a current. It's easy to drift into that and to drift along with that. It's called the course of this world. It's moving in one direction. It's easy to get swept up in that and to go along with that. And you might not even think about it. Another truth about this young boy is that seeking after God and inquiring of his word is just not necessarily for older people, but it's for young people. It's for 8-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds. How many young people in this place are seeking after the God of David, as this young man was? How many tender hearts do we have here today? How many humble hearts do we have? How many young men in this community, neighborhood that you know of, how many of them are seeking after God? How many of them are taking up their cross and following Christ? Young people, you have strong muscles and you have sharp minds. That's how God has made you. And he's made you that way so you can worship him, so you can live your life for him, not so you can just have a bunch of fun and go do your own thing. He's given you your energy to be in service for him, to be an asset in your neighborhoods, in your workplaces. Be an example of godliness, seeking ways to make a difference in this world. And that's why the Tuesday Church, that's a good work. So we bless the young people that are involved in that work, in Thursday Church. Other efforts that we put into getting out into the world. And to be an example, to show another way. To show some light and some truth and a different way to live. Do we have a testimony for what God has done for us? Brother Virgil Heisey challenged us with that Wednesday night, and we had, Thursday and Friday and Saturday go by, and I wonder how many of us have had opportunity to share a word for the Lord. And we didn't, or we did, but the days slipped by quickly. Are you going to be like Josiah? He didn't seem to be ashamed of what he was doing. Even though it seems the majority of the people in his country were still wicked people, they weren't real concerned about what the Lord said about them and his word. They weren't willing to change their ways, but he was still busy tearing down idols and altars and high places and grinding them all to powder and burning up bones and just busy. He was serious. He was serious. Well, he reigned for 31 years, the Bible tells us. So what, he died at the age of 39. That's not very old, is it? Probably expected to live a lot longer than that, but he didn't. I'm 40, so it's close to my age that he died. He died in an unfortunate way. We don't have time to explore that much, but one of the truths from that is just because you start out right at 8 and 26 doesn't mean at 40 you'll continue right. You may make a bad decision and a bad choice, which he did. And so let's keep our hearts tender at 40 and beyond, because we have the capability of going wrong and making an unwise choice like he did. He was killed in battle. And I didn't have time to pull that all apart. But as a young man, and he died a young man. And the truth is, youthful years, as a young person, they're actually very short and fleeting. And you can look at your parents, your mom and dad, and say, well, when I get to be their age and have their aches and pains and their problems, that won't likely be me. I'll be different than them. But you get there pretty quickly. The preacher says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. He says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." The preacher's saying this morning, look, you're young, let your heart cheer you. Just go ahead, just have a good time. Wherever your eyes take you, whatever you see to do, just go do it. Just go. Live it up all you can while you're young. But as you do that, remember. That for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And so, young people this morning, you will get old just like I am. You will. It happens quickly. Life is short at best. We know that. We often don't live like we know that. Josiah gave his youthful years to his Creator, even as a boy. He chose to follow and to seek after God. And we hear all kinds of voices in our heads and lies that we like to believe, and we'll say, we'll take care of things tomorrow. Tomorrow, it's always tomorrow. That's the devil's day. It's tomorrow. After you close your eyes in death, it's useless to talk about tomorrow. You won't have tomorrow to talk about. And so the tomorrows come, and the tomorrows keep coming, and they keep coming, and soon you become older, and soon you begin to hear more lies. And it says you're too old, it's useless, your life's a mess, there's no point in dealing with it now. It's always tomorrow, tomorrow. Today is God's day. Always today is God's day. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Think about the country that you and I live in. Think about how we find ourselves, the situation we find ourselves in. Think about the men in this country. And it seems like we live in a day when manliness is scorned and scoffed at. And men are lazy and soft and indifferent. I was recently on a job site. It's probably been two months ago that we did a lot of work there. And I was coming back to finish up something. And this job supervisor said, "Well, you can be glad you weren't here yesterday." And I said, "Well, what happened yesterday?" And he said, "Well, I was on a large horse farm in West Grove. And there's a lot of hired help there. There's a man from, I think, Argentina, Bolivia, I forget which country he was from now, hired man in his, about my age. I've met him a number of times just in passing. We'd say hi. His English wasn't very good, but he was tending horses. Well, the day before I got there, he decided that his life wasn't worth living. His family still lived in the country where he came from. He came to the United States to get a good life. That's just a lie. But he decided that afternoon, around lunchtime, he drove his truck out to the backfield, and he had called his brother that lived over in Argentina, I think it was. And the brother got concerned about him. Something seemed wrong with this man. So he called the owner of the property, and they said, "Do you know where this man is?" And he said, "No, we'll go find him." Well, by the time they found him, he was in his truck, slumped over, unconscious. And they didn't really realize what was going on. The ambulance came to hauled him off, and then he found a big syringe used for horses, laying on the center console. Well, they saved his life, pumped out his blood, he was full of poison, but he was living a double life. He's living a double life. We can't handle that. We can't handle that as men. It's not worth it. I hope I can get to talk to him sometime again. I don't know if I ever get that chance. But men in this country in 2023, they die by suicide four times more often than women. 80% of all suicide deaths were with men. And why is that? Because men are bailing out when the going gets tough. or checking out. They're not living like this young man was, King Josiah. That's not how they're living. They're living in wickedness and sin. They're living in front of their phones and their computers and their video games and all the fun and pleasure, but it's really an empty, useless, pathetic life. There's many men who are completely lost. They have no direction, they have no goals, and they have no drive. I meet them a lot. It's just here. Make the best of it while you can. We need men today who are full of manliness. Men who have a drive to get out there and do something. Do something good for God. Men that don't have to be like every other young man. We need young men who are willing to be Josiahs. That's what we need in our communities, in our churches, in our families. Willing to stand up and to stand out and to go against the flow. We need men who are willing to put their heads in a different direction than the rest of this world and seek after something different than the rest of this world. That's what we need, men like that. Men who are daring enough to be different, to be involved in kingdom building, to be involved in school teaching, to be missionaries, to be VS workers. There's five more men needed for Jamaica. Men that lead out, men that can be trusted with responsibility to carry out their responsibility. Men that seek eternal life. Men that are not willing to waste away their life pursuing selfish ambitions and lusts and music and cars and tolls and muscles and jobs and houses and screens and fun and pleasure. Don't be passive towards God. He sees passive men. Seeking God like Josiah did means that you will turn from any known sin that's in your life. And you will do everything you can to eradicate that thing and get it out of there forever. Grind it to powder. Like you're going to be really serious about this. There's nothing stopping you. You got one purpose, one goal. It's to seek after God. To study His Word. To see how He would want you to order your life. How He would want you to live. Josiah, he believed God was serious. When he heard the Word of God, he's like, take another day or two. No, that's not how he responded. Right that day yet. Right that day. He humbled himself. And God got big and he got small. That's what happens to men that seek after God. To ladies that seek after God. God in His Word gets big and you get small. Are we really going to be serious about changing our lives? Are we really going to be serious about getting rid of the idols and everything that pollutes us? Are we really going to be serious about this thing? Even when you're young, like 16 and 20, this man was just like, nothing was stopping him from getting rid of everything that was going on. It was wicked. He was taking care of it. Will you and I be modern day Josiahs in 2026? Will you be a faithful young man? Will you be a man faithful in marriage? A man that is faithful leading your family? Will you be a man that is faithful in your workplace? Will you be a man that will lead and guide the church? Will you be a man that can lead the school and can teach in schools? We need men. We need men. We need faithful men. Myron mentioned that song about faithful men. That's what we need. This world doesn't offer us faithful men. But we need faithful men. It rests upon our shoulders as men, not upon our sisters. They oftentimes rise above us in their faithfulness. We need to get our shoulders into the harness. I'm talking to myself. And pull like a man. They look to us for guidance and for help, and we fail them so often. Shame on us. Will we be a Josiah, a man with a tender heart, a man who is skeptical of our own ideas, a man who's willing and ready to listen to advice, willing to be taught, respectful of older people and their experiences and their opinions? Jesus said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls." We need men of discipline, men of self-control, not like Esau, who sold his birthright for some food, for some soup, because he was hungry. We need men who are able to control themselves. There's a higher calling that's on your life. Can we deal going hungry and still choose right? Will you sell your soul cheap? Will you be a young man, a young lady? Will you be one of those who is seeking to understand God, who is seeking to know God? Who are you? What are you like? What are your characteristics? What are your attributes? What are your desires? Are you willing to align your life with God's word and to be just authentic with who you are? To be real? Are you willing to be committed to a lifelong pursuit of God? Not just in times of need, but throughout all of life. Are you willing to take that call? All of you. All of your life. Are you willing to practice spiritual disciplines that will help you grow? As men, we need to do things. We just can't sit idle. We need to be purposeful in what we discipline ourselves with so we can grow, so our character can be shaped, so we can become molded. God's not going to do all the work for us. It's going to take a lot of work of your own purposes, your own thinking. As you think about where you fall, where you fail, you're going to be like, you know what, I'm going to have to draw a really big line here. We're not going to cross that one. You're going to stick by it. You're going to go do something else. You'll be involved with other things. You'll be like Daniel, purpose in your heart. You just won't do it. You just won't do it. You don't need to do it. Faithfulness year after year will change your life. It'll change your character. It'll change who you are. And you'll grow. And you'll become more like Jesus. Are you willing to do that today? Willing to be like King Josiah at the age of 8? He was busy seeking after the Lord. He was doing things, cutting things off. Thought of this song that Garment of Praise sings. I've listened to it many times. It has helped me. Its title was Be Strong. Convictions are silenced. Truth is obscured. Innocence trampled. The lines have been blurred. Consciences crumble as morals decay, and all we have left are a few shades of gray. There are still those who will not be dismayed, the remnant of God-fearing men, and we pledge to not be ashamed or afraid to stand up and show we still can. Champions of honor, heroes of faith, warriors of valor, empowered by grace. Cold to temptation, callous to pain, and even through hard times, our vows will remain. Men who, when tested, will refuse to deny the gospel we firmly believe. Whether it means that we live or we die, be certain that we'll always be strong in the faith, be strong in the fight, be strong on the line between wrong and what's right, be strong in the power, be strong in the Lord, be more courageous than ever before, faithful, determined, steadfast, and true, willing to sacrifice everything too. Be strong. In a time when concessions are applauded, compromise is glorified, it's time to be strong on principles that are proven, on standards that stand, on values that have value, and on truths that are timeless. It's time to stand up and stand out. We don't need more superstars and celebrities. We need men to be heroes of honor, examples of character, role models of integrity, and inspirations of godliness. It's time to be strong. We have the power if we will receive it. We have the call if we will answer. We have the duty if we will obey. So take courage, friend. There is nothing to fear, nothing to dread, and nothing to regret, for God Almighty is on our side. We are more than conquerors if only we would choose to be strong. It's my testimony this morning to be strong. To be strong. Pray for me that I can be strong. I can be the man that God is calling me to be in my marriage, in my family, in the church, in my workplace, wherever I am. And I pray for you all too, that you would also be strong. To be a man like Josiah, a man that's willing to take a stand for God. The title for the message, I think I forgot to say that, is Josiah, an example for young men. And while this message was sort of directed to us men, there's truths for us all. But the call is today in the age and society that you and I live in is for men to be not like the world, but to be men like Josiah, willing to stand out for God. May God bless you with courage to do that this week. Let's kneel for prayer.